Okay, says the Mishnah, Hamakdish Nechosov, Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. Somebody is Makdish his property, V'hoisolov, and he had on the property Ksubas Isha. So the property had a lien from a Ksuba. So now the issue that the Mishnah is dealing with is that the Mishnah is taking the assumption that now we're going to be able to collect from Hekdesh that Ksuba. In other words, the Ksuba is going to go to the woman rather than stay by Hekdesh. We'll see why. It shouldn't be so poshut, but that's what the Mishnah says. So Rabbi Elazar says we have a concern that when the person divorced his wife, he really wasn't divorcing her, and the whole divorce was on the premise that they're going to collect the field from Hekdesh, and then he'll take her back. So, Rabbi Elazar says, "Kishi yigarsheno, yodu ano." When you megarish the woman, you have to be madar ano from her. You have to make a neder that you'll never take her back. By doing that, so we know that you don't plan to benefit from the ksuba. By you not benefiting from the ksuba, we're not worried that you're going to go in the cheat hekdish. Rabbi Yeshua Omer in itzorech. Rabbi Yeshua holds you don't have to do that. We'll see why not. Why is he not concerned? Kiyetzeh b'dovah marashbag. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is machadish the same kind of a problem by an orev. Afa orev liisha b'ksuboso. If a person is an orev for a woman on a ksuba, we have the same problem. We're worried that the husband will now divorce his wife, assuming he doesn't have the money to pay the ksuba, and now the orev will pay the ksuba. And once the orev pays the ksuba, then he'll take her back. Same type of shtick. And v'yabayla megalsha yidiren ano shema yase kunyono al nechosim shazeh v'yachzir esishter. So we have the same problem, that the guy is going to make a kinyona on his nechosim and take his wife back. So basically he'll divorce his wife, get back the field, the wife will collect the nechosim from the orev, from the cosigner, and then he'll take his wife back. That's what the Mishnah said. Okay. So again, for some reason the Mishnah is taking on the assumption that should one have a lien on his property and then he's makdish it, the Mishnah is assuming that that hekdish will not take over the lien. The lien will remain on the property and it's going to have to be paid back. That's not so poshut that should be that way. All over Shas we have a rule. We have a rule all over Shas that fakelt, we say that hektish is mafkir midei shibut. We say that hektish overrides the shibut. And what basically occurs is the hektish is chal, and the shibut falls off. So the whole thrust of our Mishnah is going without that concept. And that's something that, if you look at the next Mishnah, if you turn to Amud Beis, the Mishnah talks about redeeming back from hektish. See, let's look at the Mishnah Amud Beis. Hamakdish Nechosov. It's the same Mishnah. Okay, Rashi says the difference over there is that the get happened first. That's why we're not dealing so much with the problem of Kunyana. We're not worried that he's doing tricks. But it's the same concept, the same lumdus as our Mishnah. Meaning, the lumdus is a guy was Makdish a field that was Meshubit to the Ksuba. And then the question is now, can the woman collect the field from Hekdish? There's two issues here. One issue is, did he really mean to divorce his wife? And that's what our Mishnah is dealing with. Our Mishnah is dealing with, did he really mean to divorce his wife, or did he not really mean to divorce his wife? And that's why we make him madar ano, according to Rabbi Elazar, to outrule the possibility that it's a shtick. So our Mishnah is dealing with the shtick, Shaboy. But our Mishnah is taking on for a Dovah Poshet, that not for the shtick, Yitaka could collect the ksuba, you would be able to collect the ksuba geld from the hektish. Correct? So this Mishnah states, Hamaktish nechosav oisal of ksubas ishu bal choiv, eino isha yechoy leligvois ksubosam in a hegdish, v'loi bal choiv is choivoy. So this Mishnah almost overrides the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah says, well, you can't do that, because it's by hegdish. Right? It's by hegdish. So the Mishnah says, elo, hapoide, poide, you have to redeem it, and then you redeem it on the condition, amanas litein liisha b'ksuboso, l'bal choyves choyvay. And the Mishnah explains, if you will makdish something which was worth 90 money, and the choyv was 100 money, moisiv dinner, upoides hanachosim, elo, amanas litein liisha b'ksuboso, l'bal choyves choyvay. So this Mishnah seems to state that in actuality, the hektish is chal. And the hektish actually overrides the shibut, which really makes our Mishnah irrelevant. Right? It makes our Mishnah irrelevant. So that's why the vast majority of the Rishonim, the Gemara asks, why do you have to redeem it? The Gemara right there on that Mishnah says, what do you have to say it for? Mishum de Ravu, Amar Ravu, Ravu said shelo yomer hegdish yoytze b'lo pidyon. People shouldn't say, some don't even have the gear, shelo yomer, because hegdish can't come out without a pidyon. Okay? So this Mishnah seems to say that when you makdish property, that gets rid of any liens. That's like a title cleanser. You give it to hegdish, and now whatever liens are there, they're gone. That's what it seems to be. The previous Mishnah is worried about the kinyana. This Mishnah says, what do you mean? It's clean slate. You have nothing to worry about because once you makdish it, it cleaned off the slate. They can't even collect it. So there are two different approaches. Clearly, the approach that most of the Rishonim take, if you look at Tesis here, Mishum de Rabavu, and the way Rashi learns, they learn that really, midaraisa, the hektish is not chal on the shibut. And Rashi says, because the hektish, because it's not yours to be makdish. If you look at Rashi's lashon, Rashi says, the vadai in the Mishnah there, Rashi, divri amaschala, poide poide. Rashi says, vadai loy chayla loy hektish. Of course, the hektish is not. It's not yours. So Rashi learns that Hektish is not a title cleanser. Rashi learns Enechaname. The Hektish doesn't work because it's Taka Meshubit. Right? So then it makes sense. The way Rashi is learning, it makes sense because we over here we give you leeway. You could redeem the field back for a pruta. Because inherently the field doesn't have Kedusha anyway. Because it's Meshubit. Meshubah to the Baal Chayv. And therefore the Hekdish doesn't work. So now we understand. So now we're letting you redeem the field back for a pruta only because of the fact that the field really is Meshubah. And the Hekdish wasn't Chal. So the whole Hekdish is a formality. You don't really, midaraisa, have to redeem the field back because the field has a pre-existing Shibud to the Malva, to the woman. And therefore you don't have to redeem it. Yeah, but Rashi says, Loi chayel alayu hektish. Rashi's terminology, you have to know why. It's a very good point you're raising. But I'm just saying, Rashi over here says it's not chal. So Rashi here at least fits very well with what we hold on Amud Aleph, what the Mishnah by us is worried about. That's why our Mishnah is worried about, maybe you did a shtick. Because the shtick would work. Okay? Because the shtick would work. And that's how Tosfos comes too. If you look at Tosfos, Divrei Hamaschal Mishum de Ravavu, this is on Amud Beis, that same Mishnah. Mikan Mevi Rashi Raya, the Hodom Arova Hektish Mafkir Midei Shibu Dafke Kedushas Aguf. So now at least we have a Mahalach. In Shas, although we use that term all over, that Hektish is Mafkir Shibu, which literally means a Hektish gets rid of a lien, okay, that's only by Kedushas Aguf. You want to make a kol, okay? But if you're doing Kedushas Domim, if you're just giving over the value to Ekdush, then it won't override the lien. So that's what we have. So that's really the, how do we bridge the gap between all of Shas that Hekdush gets rid of the Shibud? And our sugya seems to imply that Hekdush doesn't get rid of the Shibud. So the answer is all over Shas, we're talking about Kedushas Aguf. And over here we're talking about Kedushas Domim. That's the way we make it work. The question really here is twofold. Question number one, what David is asking, that L'chayre, why should we say that that's Kaka, that's Meshubit, is not yours? It's yours. The person can go and collect it. For Haraya, forget Hekdush for a moment. If you took this field and you sold it to somebody, it would work, subject to the person not collecting it. Why should Hekdush be worse? Rashi's giving Hekdush the worse end of the deal. Because if you took this field that was Meshubit to somebody, unless it was an apoitiki, whatever, some specific type of shibud that was exclusive, but a regular shibud, if you take a property that has a lien, the sale works. Just like in secular law, sale can work subject to a lien. You can make the sale subject to the lien. And that's the way it works. Rashi over here is telling us that Hekdush is even worse than that. Hekdush is not chal at all. That's a tzorachin, why it should be that way. But the bottom line is that's what Rashi says. Now, what's further difficult is why should there be a difference between, using Rashi's logic, why should there be a difference between Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Domi? Because if it's not yours, if that's Rashi's problem, okay, that's what we're debating. Why is it not yours? It is yours with a lien. But if Rashi here says, the Hekdush Vadai Loi Chayil Alayu Hekdush Areinu Shaloi. So Rashi, the reason that Rashi is giving us, all over Shas, how do we learn Hekdush Mafkil Lidei Shibud? Exactly like you're saying. Because really, the sale works. Just like you could sell it to Pliny Galmoni, you can sell it to Hekdush. Once Hekdush has it in its domain, it cleans the title. The Shibud falls off. No, I'm saying, once it goes into Rishus Hekdush, the Hekdush cleans the title. Right? But Rashi's reason why he says that Hekdush is not Chal over here is because it's Einu Shaloi. Okay? So then how then does Rashi make sense? Rashi's trying to rectify all of Shasta. We say Hekdush is not, is Mafkir Shibud. Hekdush does clean the title. That's Kedushas Aguf. And over here we're talking about Kedushas Domi. What I'm saying is that if we're using Rashi's logic, it doesn't make sense that there should be a distinction between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. It shouldn't be Chal. Rashi's whole point is, can you go over to somebody else's property and be Makdish? Of course not. Would it be Mafkir, that guy's ownership? Of course not. It's not yours to be Makdish. Even if you did Kedushas Domim. If I go to Reuven's animal and I say it should be a Korban Oyla, it's a Dvorim B'Talim. Even if I'm trying to make a Kedushas Aguf. So what's Rashi talking about? No. There really is no difference from the Shibud standpoint before the Gerishin and after the Gerishin. The field is Meshubit. The next step is collection. And yes, you can't collect if you're not divorced. And you can't collect if you are divorced and it's not in your Rishus. The Shibud stays as a status of a Shibud until the end. The only difference, Rashi says, between Mishnah A and Mishnah B is that by Mishnah B, we're not worried about a kunyana. We're not worried about shtick because he already divorced his wife. So we're not worried that he did the shtick afterwards because he divorced his wife before he was makdashit. That's what Rashi says. Okay? But other than that, everything else is the same. The lundus is the same. But it's very difficult. Very difficult to understand. So therefore, the Ketzais also raises this issue. The Ketzais in Chayshim Mishpid and Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, he raises this issue of Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Domim. And he makes a statement, but again, the statement needs tremendous clarity. The Ketzai says, well, we find another difference between Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Domim. Kedushas Haguf, the halacha is, you could even be makdash adovel shaloi bol o'ilom. You could make a Kedusha on something that's not here, like we had in the sugya earlier. But Kedushas Domim, you can only make kedusha on something that's here. If you makdish something that's loy b'loy alam, it doesn't work. So the Ketzeis is saying, he's navigating, he's saying, therefore, that's the pshat, when we find this other difference between kedusha guf and kedusha damim, that kedusha guf could be mafkia shibud, and kedusha damim could not be mafkia shibud. It's similar, just like there's a din of dovah shaloy b'loy alam, it's similar over here. So I think just to get a better handle on this, I think the pshat here is very simple. The ownership that's required to be makdish something is actually more stringent than the ownership that you normally need. Because we learn out of the pasuk, l'moshel, if somebody would steal something from me, okay, I could sell the merchandise even though it's not in my domain. I could technically sell it. And say, subject to me getting my merchandise back. It's my merchandise. Not a dovah shaloy b'loy alam. It's my merchandise. Somebody went ahead and hijacked my truck. I had a truck that was going with a lot of merchandise. Somebody hijacked the truck. The cops are after the truck. Hopefully they'll recover it. And I'm selling it to you now. The truckload is worth $1 million. I'll sell it to you for 250 grand. Subject to it being recovered. That sale works. That's not a dovah shaloy b'loy alam. Right? But by hekdish, the Torah said, ish ki yakdish is beisei. The Torah used the terminology beisei. The Gemara learns from there that hekdish has to be birshusei. So that means by hekdish, there's a higher level of ownership that you need. It has to be mamish in your domain completely. Not only you have to own it, but it has to be completely freed in your domain. I think that the Pshan and Rashi is like this. Rashi understands that would require it to be lien free. Because a lien is a restriction. A lien is a restriction. If I try to sell my property now, again, it's subject to the lien. Whatever I want to do with the property is subject to the lien. The lien holder, is a restriction on my brishusay. So therefore, the shaloi that's required to be makdashit is missing because of the shibud. So though Rashi throws the terminology, it's not his to be makdash. Rashi doesn't mean it's not yours at all. V'harai, you could sell the property to John. You could sell the property to Tom out there. What Rashi means is the shaloi that we require to be makdash something, that's a whole different domain. Now we can understand very simple. That's all if you're making a transaction with hekdash. But Kedushas HaGuf, as we explained many times, you're not really doing a monetary transaction with Hekdesh. What you're doing by Kedushas HaGuf is you're making the object Kedesh. I'm taking this object and I'm saying it should be Kedesh. Once I make it Kedesh, once I make it into an oiler, it's like a nether. I'm making it into an oiler. Once I make it into an oiler, by default, it goes out of my domain. But the Maisa Neder is not a monetary transaction. And that's why that doesn't have the rules of transfer. And therefore, it doesn't have to be birshusay. It still has to be shaloi. So that's the pshat. Hekdish is mafkir midei shibud. That's where what you're doing primarily is a kedusha on the object. That is not called a monetary transaction. Doesn't require the new elevated restriction of birshusay. And therefore, that would work. Once it becomes hekdishes, it's a title cleanser. The liens fall off. Mashen came by Kedushas Domim, it works in the reverse. You're lacking in the Kedushas, in the Shaloi, and therefore you can't even be Makdash, according to Rashi. Now again, you can debate Rashi Shita, but for sure, at best, it'll be Chal with a restriction. Rashi's saying it's not Chal at all. But to learn our Mishnah, we could learn either way. The main idea is that our Mishnah is talking about Kedushas Domim, and therefore, it's not Mafkia, the Shibud. Either it's not Chal at all, according to Rashi, or the lien stays on the property. Only Kedusha Zaguf, which Kedusha is isolated from the monetary end of it, there it's Mafkia Midei Shibud. Because there the money dances after the status of the object. That's the point. The Kedusha Zaguf is like it's a condition. It's Chal on the Kedusha Zaguf. Now it has everything else is just ramifications of that Kedusha that's Chal on the object. That's the difference. Okay. So the Gemara says, B'maiko Miflugi. Why in our Mishnah do we have a machlekes? Whether we're worried that a guy did shtick, and he went ahead and he was Megarish his wife only with the intent to get the field back from Hegdish. Rav Elazar Sovar Adam Oisei Kunyon Al Hegdish. A person would make a shtick with Hegdish. And Rabbi Yeshua Sovar Ein Adam Oisei Kunyon Al Hegdish. Says the more, what do you mean? Hodama Avuni Shchimer Asha Hegdish Kol Nechosov. We have such an example in Meseches Bava Basra. A Shchiv Meira went and he was makdish all of his money. But he said, however, money l'plani biyodi. $100 of this money, $100 belongs to somebody else. Neman, he's believed. Chazoko eino d'moise kunyone ala hegdish. Why don't we say shtick? Our Mishnah says that we're worried about shtick. Why are we worried about shtick? Says the Gemara, no. Leima katanoya amal shmeidze. L'chayri etzoli min our Mishnah. Loi ad kan loi pligi ala bebori avu v'shchim mei adiv reakoyel. Eino d'moise kunyone ala hegdish. By a sick person who's dying, he wouldn't do it because ain't it my time? Ain't it choyte v'leiloi? Okay, that's the Gemara. Now this whole Gemara is a plea. It's a little piece of Gemara that Rishonim don't really elaborate, but it's really a plea to Gemara because the Gemara's analogy is l'choyre completely off because the Gemara is making an analogy from our Mishnah. To an example where a guy went, he was makdish all of his money. Let's assume it was the Shchiv Meira. The Gemara answers, it's a Shchiv Meira, so ain't adam choyte v'leiloi. Person wouldn't do this when he's dying. He has no real monetary benefit, he wouldn't play shtick with hektish if he's dying. But let us analyze the whole Gemara's kedimyon. The Gemara is saying that why don't we say the guy is doing shtick? There's no shtick over here. This is plain, simple gzela. See, in our Mishnah, it's shtick. Because our Mishnah, the guy came, and he was makdish his property. And then a year later, he regretted it. He wanted some of that property back. So he had a chap. He'll divorce his wife. Okay? She'll collect the ksuba from Hekdish. And he'll get back his 200 zuz of property back. It's a good shtick. Okay? Now, what's wrong with it? Nothing. It's not even a white-collar crime. It's shtick. Shtick, that's only the shtick mensch. A lot of shtick. It's a shtick mensch. Could even be Heimish. Could be a Heimish azach to do. So there, we went ahead and we're worried that a guy's going to do azach shtick. Right? He'll come to shul the next week, he could show off. He could sit in the shul and say, you know what I did? This week, in the middle of the week, I divorced my wife, I collected the field back. Everything was legal. I hired a chush of a lawyer. Everything was done. The paperwork is whistle clean. Even Wiki can't find anything wrong with it. Kosher. So there, it makes sense. We're worried about ain't of the moise kunyona in my hegdish. We're worried a person's going to make shtick. The Gemara then makes an analogy. A guy was makdish his money, and he says, by the way, I owe somebody money. And maybe it's bogus. Right? And we say, no, we're not worried about a bogus claim. The Gemara says, what's going on? It's a stira, it's kitanoi, it's falling machle. Well, it's no shaykhis. So the Puskei Rav is bothered by this kash and the Sfasemes, that the old Gemara's analogy is a pella gadol. It's a mamish a pella. So, what we see from our Gemara, I believe, is a meiridik echidish that the old gadol, in the Mishnayas, the old gadol, he wrote a pirush on Mishnayas, he's also bothered with this question. And he says a tremendous chidish. He says that if a guy divorced his wife only to be able to indirectly get the ksuba, she's not really divorced. So it's not clean shtick. It's a crime. So we call it kunyana. The kunyana really is gzela. Because divorcing his wife with this intent is not really a gerushin. If that's the problem, what would he say? But he says it's not a gerushin. And since it's not a gershon, so the gets not chal, so now she's still his wife. So now when she goes to Hekdesh and she makes the claim against the field, and in a chanami, using the judicial system, they were able to get the field back, but he and his wife know that they're ganovi. And if somebody will be ready to do that, it means he's ready to steal. If he's ready to steal, then that's the Gemara's comparison. That's the way the Ogadol is. The big problem is, where do we see L'chayrit HaDin and Kol HaShas Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim? What a guy's thinking inside doesn't play a role. If he goes and he goes through a process, it's chal. He divorced his wife. He divorced his wife. She's divorced. And therefore, if we would say dvarim shebelev havi dvarim, then, and he really didn't have in mind to divorce his wife, then we could say the get's not a get. Again, you're too heimish. What the Argadol is saying is that if Lamaisa, the guy, is only divorcing his wife to get the money and then he has das to take her right back, that's what's happening here. You're taking your wife right back. That's not divorced. Das heißt nicht das Gerishin. Das Gerishin is, I want to get rid of you. I don't want to get rid of you. I want to collect the land. So let's do a shtick. It's going to look like I'm divorcing you, but I'm really not. We'll have Edim. We'll have Dayanim. It's going to look clean, but it really is not. So our Gadol is saying, Klapi Shmaya, she's not divorced. If she would now marry another man in the interim, she'd be Eishes Eishes Insa. That's how our Gadol is learning. She would be a regular Znus, because it's not a real divorce. What I'm telling you is it's a tremendous Chiddush, because in all of Shas we say, Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim. It's still Dvorim Shebelev. It's Dvorim Shebelev because as long as the Bezdin, the ones that are enacting and the Edim, everything is clean. So it's Dvorim Shebelev. So he's playing shtick with her. Of course he told his wife what he plans to do. But it's a shtick. So I think that but on the other hand, if we don't accept his Chiddush, then the whole Gemara doesn't flow. That's the problem we have here. Then the whole Gemara doesn't flow. Because then the Gemara is making an analogy from a kosher shtick to bogus gneva. So we're sort of stuck. If we don't learn like him, then the Gemara doesn't flow. If we learn like him, it seems to be a steer. So I think from here we see a merdeka chiddush. But this is something that we analyzed in the past, in the sugya of dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Why is dvarim shebelev einam dvarim? So logically, dvarim shebelev should be dvarim. If you think about it. You know, if we say dvarim shebelev einam dvarim is because we don't believe you, then it makes sense. In other words, you went and you did a mechira, and then later when you say, I really meant this, we don't believe you. If that's what dvarim shebelev would mean, then it would be logical. We don't believe you. You had something to say, you should have said it at the right time. You're coming afterwards and saying you did it. We don't believe you. But the Rishonim, Pe'echor and Kiddushin, Daf Memtes, Daf Nun, the sugya of Dvarim Shebelev, they say clearly that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim is even where we believe you. We 100% believe you. It's true that in your heart you thought. The famous sugya in Kiddushin, what's the case? The guy sold his property to move to Eretz Yisrael. And then it didn't work. So the Gemara says, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Since at the time of the sale you didn't convey that intention, and say, I'm making the sale contingent on the move, so it's too bad. Your house is sold and you're stuck. So the Rishonim say, even though the neighborhood knows, he could bring us the 25 neighbors that will tell us that he had in mind to move and to go to Israel. That's why he was holding his property. Doesn't make a difference. Still Dvarim Shebelev. So why is that? In Kol HaTarakulu we say, Das Kinyan is pivotal. So the explanation that I gave, I mean, it's a lengthy thing, I want to move on to Shayla here. I gave a simple explanation. I think it's Poshet. There's two things. There's something called Das, and there's something called Ratzon. There's a tremendous difference between the two. We generally, in the yeshivas, we put them together, we term them the same way, but they're really very different. Das means knowledge. Rotzain means you want something. I have a desire, I want it. Okay? What do you need for kinyonim? Do you need das or do you need rotzain? There's no shaila at all that what you need is das. And that's the simple explanation why you always need to come on to Tanai. Tanai is a chiddush in the Torah, b'nei Godo, b'nei Ruvain. They were machadish, the Moshe Rabbeinu was machadish over there, that you could sell something and build in a Tanai and say, later, if this doesn't happen, I'm reversing what I did. Right? The Tanai is gonna break what transaction that I did. And we say that's a chiddush from Bnei Godo Bnei Ruvain. If the Tanai is not made properly, structured Bnei Godo Bnei Ruvain style, then it doesn't break the transaction. So everybody asks, this is a famous question, why do you have to come on to Sinai for? There's no das. A guy says, I'm being Mekadosh, you Al Tanai, this and this and this. Yeah. And then it doesn't happen. So what do you have to come on to Tanai for? There's no das kedushin. If a guy is Mekadosh a woman thinking that she's a Sarah, and she turns out not to be Sarah, yeah? So you don't need to come on to Tanai. There's no das, a mekachtos. So the obvious question is, and this is really an elementary question on Tanoim, why do you have to come on to Tanai to break a transaction? Just say there's no das. And the answer is very simple. When you make a Tanai, that's a transaction that you had das on. That means I'm a Kaddish woman today. Sunday morning I go and I'm a Kaddish woman. Okay? So now the woman is Brishusi. Chofches Kislev, this is my wife. Now I say, listen, if on Wednesday this and this doesn't occur, then I want the Kiddushin to be bottled. Does that mean you didn't have knowledge that you were making Mekadosha? Of course you had knowledge that you were Mekadosha. But now you're telling us what you would like. Not whether you have intent to be Mekadosha woman. You don't have intent. You're Mekadosha. You want that something later should come and break the Kiddushin. That's a reflection of your rotzen. That's not a reflection of your knowledge that you were Mekadosh the woman. If I put on the ring and I didn't know who I was being Mekadosh, that's a chesaron das. This is like a chesaron rotzen. Now, you have desires that you want should happen later and should break the Kiddushin. That's it's irrelevant to us. And if you do it, you have to come on to Tanai. And Tanai is like a rider that the Torah was Mekadosh. That you could now create it's almost like a separate fighter plane that's going to bomb the transaction. You made a transaction, and then you sent off this little plane that can fly up and break it. That's why Tanai is called Musachrite. That means I have a fully contained Maisa, which is good, and then the Torah was Mechadish, there's a bomb. It's called Tanai. And Tanai will come and destroy the action. Not the Das. It's working with Tanai. The Tanai takes into account whatever Rotson you want. You put that into the Tanai. And now the Tanai is a separate thing that breaks it. What I'm telling you is that if there's Dvarim Shebelev at the time of the Kinyan that you didn't know what you were doing, it wouldn't work. The Kinyan would not work. It would be Dvarim Shebelev Havi Dvarim. If you didn't realize you were selling the wrong property, you didn't realize it. So you went ahead and signed the right title and everything else, but later we can prove that you didn't know. We wouldn't say Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim. And actually there's a Tesfis in Psochim Dav Samach Gimel. And Tesfis asks, it says in the Mishnah in Maisris, if somebody says Harei Zeh Truma, but he meant to say Maiser, or he said, I raise a miser, and he meant to say truma. So the Mishnah says it's not chal. Doesn't work. See, even though I got up and I said, I raise a truma. The Mishnah says, if you didn't mean it, it's not chal. If you meant to say miser, it's not chal. So Tosfos comes in Psochem Dav Samach Gimel. He says, what do you mean? Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim. Hazei Frek Tosfos. Tosfos says, no. Over here, Iskil Malule, over here, your mouth played games with you. You didn't mean to say those words. Somebody says, what's Tosfos talking about? That's every Dvorim Shebelev. Tosfos says, no. Dvorim Shebelev is why I say later there's some new information that if I would have known that, I wouldn't have wanted. You're not saying I didn't have knowledge of the transaction. I didn't know what I was doing. I knew what I was doing. But I only would have wanted to do it if I would have known that this was going to occur. That's why Dvorim Shebelev. Now, if you look in the Mordechai in Ksubis, on Daf Tzadi Zion in Ksubis, and this, when I saw this Mordechai Mamish, I danced for joy, because the Mordechai Mamish says this point. He says, why is Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim? He says, you know why? It's like a Tanai that's not a Tanai Kofel. What's Mayim Yishmita Yitzal Sinai? What the Mordechai means to say is that every Dvarim Shebelev is an expression of your desire. Right? That doesn't affect kinyonim unless you build it into a tanai. That's the idea. But by kiddushin, there's a din v'yotza v'hoisa. We learn out that ein o ish mekadesh elam mirtzoinoi. And that's why, if you don't have rotzen for kiddushin, the kiddushin is not chal. So the vort is, why do you need a new pasuk? Every kinyan needs das. By kiddushin, you need rotzen. Kiddushin is not enough to be mekadesh yisa b'das. You need to have rotzen kiddushin. And if you don't have rotzen, it doesn't work. And we know there's a hekish from gerushin to kiddushin. The Rambam brings down asorot dvorim ma'akvin es aget in uchas gerushin. And one of those things is rotzen. That means you need to have rotzen by aget. Koifin oisei atshirim roitzani. You need to have rotzen. So if that's the case, it's very simple. If husband and wife don't really want to get divorced, you can't tell me Dvorim Shebelei Veinim Dvorim. Dvorim Shebelei Veinim Dvorim is only in as much where there's where there's only a din of das. So once the concept is, once I know that by me doing this it creates this transaction, I can't say, well, I don't really want it. Because you're doing the maisa. You have das to do the maisa. So that could be pshat in our sugya. If you're megarish a woman and you don't really want to divorce her, by gerishin there's a din of rotzen. And if there's a din of rotzen, then the taka doesn't work. That would be the pshat. I told the Yelam, I once had a maisa, a brisker boy. The parents brought him to me. It was a shana rabba sukkis. I'll never forget this maisa. And the parents brought me this boy. And they were very concerned because the boy didn't seem like he wanted to get married. He didn't want to marry this girl. They were already engaged. And the yeshiva he was learning, the Rosh Yeshiva told him, listen, whatever love will come later, just go ahead with it. But the parents were very concerned. They saw he wasn't into it, he didn't want to go see her, he wasn't so interested in talking to her. And they had good reason to be concerned. I mean, that's, in my opinion, I never say that the mitzvah Hashem, the love will come later. That's not, imagine the chosen comes to you after the chas, he says, it didn't happen. So you were misadal kiddushin. So the parents brought him to me. They were mamish very concerned. I started talking to the boy. I said, do you like to be with her? No. Do you enjoy her company? No. He said, I'd rather be with my chavrusa. That's a bad sign. So I started handling with the guy, and I saw he was like on a different program. He was in a different program. He's going ahead with this. So I told him over this smog. I said, kiddushin, you need rotz, not das is not enough. I said, I'm just letting you know that I hold your kiddushin won't be chal. That's already a bruskesach. And ultimately that began his reconsideration. The engagement got broken up. But that was the only way to get to him. I said, well, you know, if you'd call me to be an eid kedushin by Yechas, I won't be an eid because I hold the kedushin. If you don't have rotz and kedushin, it's not going to be chal. So then that he was able to connect with. You know, the fact that whatever love will come later, it's okay as long as it's a ma'aseh kedushin. Based on my lumbus, it won't come later because it's not later because it wasn't chal. So you'll be back to where you are now. Anyway, Lamaisa, based on that, you could say our sugi is very poshut. Since husband and wife, neither of them have rotzen gerishin, even though das there is to do a maisa which will create a chalois ger, see, by kinyonim, this would be enough. If I do a meshicha, and I know that a meshicha does a kinyon, and I have das to do the meshicha, but I don't want the kinyon to be chal. That wanting is not in control. I can't control. My rotzen doesn't dictate the kinyon. But by gerishin and kedushin, it can. According to this. No, now it's very good. So the get is not chal. There is sheker. The get's not chal. So now when she's going to collect the ksuba, it's bogus. And therefore, keep on going. And therefore, so they're not divorced, and therefore, and if they do, is it Geneva? Just answer the question. Like a Yekka. I don't know, you can't be a Yekka more. Is it Geneva? The answer is yes. The whole kasha was, what's the Gemara's Dimion from Geneva to here? It's Mamish Geneva. The whole kasha was, here it's Kasherishtik. No, and there it's Geneva. No, they're both Geneva. It's not a get. If it's not a get, it's not a ksuba. If it's not a ksuba, it's gneiva. Okay. Says the Gemara. Ika da amri bebori de kuli amri gneiva na hegdish vahocha beneder shehuda barabim kumifugi. Mar sova yesh lo yafora umar sova rein lo yafora. So the shilas of this neder will even work. So the opinion who says in the Mishnah not to make the nether is not because he doesn't worry about shtick. It's because it won't help you to make the nether because the guy can get rid of the nether. If he boyes ema, the kuli alma nether shehuda barabim yesh lo yafor. If you did the nether with a rabim, it has afor. But if you do it al das rabim, that's a further limitation. It's like you're saying, I need the das of the tzibur to take it off. But nether shehuda das rabim kumiflugi. Says the Ayah Meima says Neder Shuda Barabim Yeshli Afor Al Das Rabim Eilei Afor. It's Mashma Lekuli Alma Leme Katanoyam Lishmaitse. Vesu, if you're right that the issue here is that it won't work, why does Rav Yeshua say use the terminology in the Mishnah? Ain't it Tzorich? You don't need it. It's not you don't need it. It's it won't work. Vesu Rav Yeshua Eimer Ain't Tzorich Ain't Moyel Mi Boyle. Elo Hocha B'Sheila DeHegdish Kumifli. And this is the Gemara's final explanation. The shaila here is whether if after a person is makdish something, if he could remove the hekdish. So if he could remove the hekdish, so then we say that there was no das, he could remove it. So there's no way to say that in his mind he was thinking, I'll divorce my wife, and that way I'll collect the ksuba, and then I'll take her back. He could just be shaila on the hekdish. There's no reason why anybody would play such a shtick. He's going like this when he could just go straight. If you have charata, you have it. So just be shoyel on the hekdish. Remove the hekdish. And now already the field is yours. So we're saying, why would a guy divorce his wife, have her collect the ksuba, and then take his wife back when he could just go straight? So the one who says you don't have to do it in the Mishnah holds we're not worried about it because you could just be shoyel on it. So Mar Sovar says the Gemara, that's the shaila. If you could do shaila hekdesh kamiflugi. For Tanya, we have a riot to this. Hamakdesh nechosav oyel ksuba sisho. Rabbi Lezer oimel kshumagarish. When you divorce your wife, the Gemara says yidor ano. Rabbi Shua oimel ain't it tzorich. For Omer, that's our Mishnah. For Omer, Rabbi Lezer Rav Shimon heinein divrei beishamai heinein divrei beisilo. Beishamai old hekdesh b'toros hekdesh. So the machlokes is very simple. The machlokes is if you could be shoyel by hekdesh at all. If you hold that you could be shoyel by hekdesh, the whole mishnah is not negeya. Nobody in the world would ever, in their right mind, would go through a divorce process to collect his field back from hekdesh when he could just go to a rav and be shoyel on the neder, or go to a bez and be shoyel on the neder, and it's over. So it doesn't make any sense that a person would go through the process of divorcing his wife. That's what the Gemara says. And that's the maskon. That's the maskon. The big problem we have here, the way the Gemara concludes, is it should come out according to the way we paskin. So this Mishnah should be Shalei Ali B'dilchus. We should hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Because we obviously hold like Beis Hillel. The Gemara here seems to be saying, it all depends, the root of the machlokes is what is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai hold that if somebody makes hekdesh, it's over. He threw away the keys. If somebody's makdesh something, he can't come later and say it was a mistake. Even if we know he didn't have the right intention. There's no mekach toros by hekdesh. The guy's makdesh an ox. He wants it to be, Rashi brings down a black ox. It turns out to be a white ox. It doesn't make a difference what your das is. Once you makdesh it, it's over. So if you hold that hekdesh b'toros is hekdesh, then the Gemara says a neder is also not chal. Then the neder also you can't be shoyel. Because the Gemara is learning that when you shoyel on a neder, it's using the channel of toros. In other words, that's really what the Gemara is saying here in a sense. The Gemara is saying that the fact that you could be shoyel on a neder, that's all because there's a concept of mekach toros. There's a concept of doing something with an error. And based on that, there's a halacha fun hekdesh b'toros. Also, you could be shayla on the hekdesh. So basically, shayla makes it into official toss. That's how the Gemara learns. The She'ela makes it into a toss. But if you hold that by Hekdesh a toss is Chal, then She'ela doesn't work either. That's what the Gemara said. And therefore, Beishamai hold that Hekdesh B'Toss is Hekdesh. So they hold if somebody made a mistake, they will Makdesh something that they had no intent to do. It's too late. The Hekdesh is Chal. So that you can't be She'ela on the Hekdesh either. Because the She'ela at best will elevate the nether into a toss. Right? But a toss also works. So it's not going to help you. Mashenkin, if you hold like Beisilel, that Hekdesh B'Toss is not Chal, then if you raise your nether up to being a toss, which She'ela does, the only thing She'ela does, according to our Gemara, is it takes the nether and it makes it into a toss. That's what it does. It takes the nether and it makes it into a mistake. That's all it does. So the big problem we have is La Locha, we paskin that Hekdesh B'Toss is not Hekdesh. Which means, according to us, you could be She'ela on the nether. Right? On Hekdesh. Which means that we have no concern that a person would divorce his wife, just taking the process of the Gemara. The way we hold, a person wouldn't go through this process. They wouldn't go, and that being the case, so we should paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. And yet, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Elazar. And if you look at Tosfos is also bothered. The Tosfos b'sheila dehikdash kamiflagi. Says Tosfos Pirush to Rabbi Yeshua, Yei Sheila. Lefikach ein tzorich lahadir ano mi ishto yim yigal shana. Why are we worried? The loy chayshin on mishum kinyana ligvois min hegdash yim yigal shana. The lomalei legal shana. Why in the world would a guy divorce his wife? Yishal ala hegdash. He'll be shale on the hegdash. The yi a hegdash bitos. He'll be hegdash bitos. For oz lo yi a hegdash. So Tosfos says, so how do we paskin this way? The tema ksas the kaimelun ke beis hilul. Then ken yei shaila. Then ken hech koma avuna. Boy yad moise kinyon. Ila hegdish. Why would a person? Why do we ever say in shas that a person would do shtick with hegdish? Now they have to do shtick with hegdish. The way our Gemara is concluding, the whole shtick is riding on the fact that you can't get it back. You can't reverse your nether. If you could reverse your nether, you'd reverse your nether in a second. That's one significant problem in the sugya. Another problem in the sugya is the Mishnah in Pesachim that I've asked you to look up there, which directly conflicts our Mishnah, according to the logic of our Gemara. The Mishnah over there says in Pesachim that according to Rebbe Lezer, you can't be mafresh challah on Pesach, because what's going to happen is you're not going to be allowed to bake it. You can't bake challah betumah on Yom Tov because there's no reason for it. It's just going to burn. So now the challah is going to turn into chometz. So you can't be mafresh the challah because you can't bake it, and if you can't bake it, it's going to turn into chometz. That's this mission. Rabbi Yeshua, and who over here is mechulik with Rabbi Elazar, says I'm not worried about that because challah is it's you're not over by your matzah on challah. It's not yours. So we have mamish reverse reasoning. Over there, Rabbi Elazar says that you're over by your matzah on challah. Says the Rav mi bar tenura, which is based on the Gemara, choyuli boy mitzvah alei, could be shoyel on the hektish. And therefore, it's yours. Since you have a way out, we look at it like it's yours. And Rabbi Yeshua says that you can't be she'ela on it. Or whatever, Rabbi Yeshua holds it's not a problem. So we have a direct contradiction. The way the Gemara is learning our sugya, the reason why Rabbi Elazar holds that you would do shtick with Hekdesh, is because you have no other way to get it back. Because you can't be she'ela on Hekdesh. So since you have no other way to get it back but doing shtick, so you'll do shtick. And here in Pesachim, Rebbe Elazar holds exactly the opposite. He holds he can't be mafresh chal on Pesach because the mafresh chal it's going to become tomei, it's going to become chometz, and then it's not yours. It is yours because since you could be shayel on it, so it is yours. So it's mamish a full fledged contradiction. Look at these two things; they're a full fledged contradiction. So, just give you quickly in a nutshell what I think the Hezbrad over here is. the Ramami Panu in his tshuva asked the same question. And the Ramami Panu states as follows. He says, the Yesh Loimar, he says, the Bechala of the Truma, Moider Rabbi Lezer, the Yochol Lisholei. He says, although Rabbi Lezer holds in Erechim that you can't be Shoyal on Hekdesh, and that's why we're worried that you'll feel trapped, and the only way for you to get back from Hekdesh is to divorce your wife, and through the Ksuba you'll get it back. Obviously, that you can't be Shoyal, and in Psochim, he says you could. He says it's different. He says, because in Psochim, Yochol Lisholei Mishim V'yadei Litnei Leben Bitei Kohen. He could choose whatever Kohen he wants to give it to. And therefore, he could be Shoyal on it. What's one thing have to do with the other? Our sugya seems to say that it's a Shoyal of Hekdesh B'Tor Savi Hekdesh. Our sugya doesn't say it's because of B'yadei, not B'yadei. So the Ramami Panu is still ignoring our Gemara. He's trying to answer our Gemara, but he seems to be ignoring our Gemara. Because he says, well, Chala is different. Because Chala, you could be Shoyal. Because if you wanted to, you could give the Chala to your grandson who's a Kohen. You have a right to give the Chala who you'd like to give it to. And therefore, you could be Shoyal on it. Whereas by Hekdesh, there's only one address. It goes to Hekdesh. You don't have the right to give it to whichever, to channel it to different Hekdesh. There's one Hekdesh. What's one thing after the other? It's a Pella. That's what he says. And this is the question that's bothered also the Tosfos Yom Tov, as you can see from the Ma'amar Kainos here, that what's going on? What's L'Chorid is a direct stira. So I want to tell you a simple explanation. We find two ways that you could be Shoyal on an Edo. There's something called a Pesach, and there's something called a Charoteh. There's a big difference between the two. A Pesach is, I come and I explain that there was some information that I didn't have. Okay, if I would have known this other piece of information, I wouldn't have made the nether. Right? So for instance, the guy makes the nether thinking that he has a lot of money. It turned out that morning, his stock crashed. And he thought he was worth $20 million, and he's worth $1 million. He wouldn't have been makdish $500,000, knowing that he's only worth $1 million. He comes to the Rav, he says, Rav, not my stock. If he says my stock crashed Tuesday morning and he made the neder Monday morning, that's called poiskim benoilot. That's ain't poiskim benoilot. That doesn't work. Unless it's something that's havidi, whatever. Here, the regular Pesach is I wasn't aware of something at the time of the neder that if I would have been aware of, I wouldn't have made the neder. That's a Pesach. Charoteh means I regret making the neder. Which ties back into what we were talking about, Rotzen. Charoteh means I regret making the neder. And that is very easy. To get a Pesach of a Charoteh is very easy. To get a Pesach of a Pesach, that's harder. Then you need you can't just go and, you go to a Chacham and take it off. There's no, you gotta come with a real, factual issue that based on that you wouldn't have made the neder. That's not such a Pasha Tazach. That's not Stam Charoteh. Now, I would suggest that when the Gemara says that you need to come onto a tos, the Gemara bases she'elu with tos, the Gemara is going on the tzad that it's ain't poischem b'charoteh. Because if you're poischem b'charoteh, right, then you're not really saying that the neder was a mistake. You're saying, I have a regret. Pesach, you're saying the neder was actually a blatant error. So there was an error. The fact is, I was makdish my money thinking that I was on one level and I wasn't on that level. And it's not regret. Regret would mean I was makdish my money. I woke up in the morning wanting to give $1 million to Tzedakah. And the afternoon I went, what am I doing? I don't want to give $1 million to Tzedakah. That's regret. Yeah? I regret that I did it. Okay? Pesach doesn't mean regret. I have no regret. $10 million to give $500,000 to Tzedakah, I was more than ready to do that. But the fact is, I didn't have $10 million. So that's a toss. Our Gemara, by the fact that our Gemara says that if you hold Hekdesh B'Toros is Hekdesh, then you could be Shoyal on it. And if you hold Hekdesh B'Toros is not, if you hold Hekdesh B'Toros is Hekdesh, then you can't be Shoyal on it. Our Gemara is clearly going that the She'elah that you would do would be a Pesach. Because if it's Charoteh, it has nothing to do with a toss. You follow what I'm saying? It has nothing to do. So all I'm telling you is the channel that our Gemara is going is that ain the halacha is that you can be ain poischim b'chalata. That seems to be the channel that our Gemara is going. And that's the reason why our Gemara says that it's all totally in yesh sheila, ain sheila, that's the whole tumult of our Gemara. Rebbe Lezer, I want to tell you a very simple thing about Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer holds like this. Why do we say you cannot be Pesach b'charata? Is it because generically you can't be Pesach b'charata? Or perhaps there's a different pshat. The pshat is normally when you make a neder. Let's say I say, I make a neder, I'm not going to eat this and this food. Okay? Then I come to the chacham and I say, I regret the neder. Right? So if you hold Pesach b'charata, it works. You could go now and regret the neder and therefore nullify the neder. Pesach b'charata. If you hold Ein Poischem b'charata, that wouldn't be good. You'd have to come to the chacham and tell him, I thought that meat is unhealthy for me. There's a new study that the meat is healthy for me. And if I would have known that study when I made the neder, I just was not aware of it. That would be a Pesach. Yeah? Fine. What's the reason why our sugya only seems to open the door to a Pesach of Tos, not a Pesach of Charata? There are two ways to understand it. One is because Charata doesn't work. The other way is, and this is based on this Noida Behuda that I asked you to look up, is that when you have a nether that now already is not in your domain anymore. In other words, I made a nether and the consequences of that nether is that this object now is not mine anymore. It's somebody else's. It doesn't belong to me. Then, I am not the only one who it's negeah to anymore. I want to come now to a chacham and say, okay, chacham, wipe away the nether. I said no meat yesterday. Get rid of the nether for me. I want to eat meat, and this is the reason why I want to eat meat. So then, it's only negeah to me. I made a nether that's negeah to me, and I want to get rid of a nether that's negeah to me. So then, you can either use a Pesach, or you could use Charata. According to opinion, all the Pesach and B'charata. However, when you make a neder, that the consequences of that neder is that the object changed domain, and it went into a new person's domain, now you don't have the ability anymore to say, Av Charata. Because regret can't reverse a transaction that was chal already with consequences. Now already you have to make it into a toss. Now you have to say, well, the transaction wasn't a transaction. You can't say Pesach b'charata. It's too late. Because it's in somebody else's domain. So what I'm saying, well, there is an opinion of holds charata doesn't work even by Nadar. I'm just saying, the reason why our Gemara makes the equation from toss to Sheila by Hekdesh, that they all go together, is for one reason. Because Nidrei Hekdesh is different than Stam Nedarim. Nidrei Hekdesh, as soon as you make the neder, the object is now in Rishus Hekdesh. Now you come and you say, well, I have Charata. Mazel Tov, you have Charata. Too bad. They make a difference. So the only way for you to get rid of the neder is Charata won't do it. Now you have to use the channel. Now you have to use the channel of Tos. Says the Gemara, but if you hold that Hekdesh b'toros is chal, so it's too late. You have nothing to be shoyel. That's the pshat. This comes the Ramami Pano, and I think that's the pshat. So let's say you made a chalois Hekdesh where it still is in your domain. The consequences are not finished yet. You could give it to your grandson who's a kohen. Right? So now it's still called in your domain. Now that it's in your domain, you could still use the Charata channel. Since there are no monetary, there's no forced monetary, you don't have to give this challah to somebody else, you give the challah to your own grandson who's a Kohen. Therefore, it's still called in your domain. If it's still called in your domain, you don't have to use the Torah channel, you use the Charata channel. So now, it doesn't make a difference if you hold Hekdesh B'Toros, Hekdesh, Hekdesh B'Toros, Lav Hekdesh. That was only Negeah. The only way for you to get rid of the nether is to use the toss. But now I'm not using that. Now I could use Charata too. That's why the same Rebbe Lezer who in our sugya says that you can't be Shoyel Ala Hekdesh, by Chala would say not like that. Because by Chala it is in your domain. It's not out of your domain. So you don't have to create a Taurus. You just have to go to the nether. And the nether could be attacked through a due process. Process of Pesach, process through the... Now with this, we'll also be able to, as we'll see, we'll be able to be Metaretz, the Rambam as well, but that we'll leave ready for next week in Mitzvah Shem.